Welcome to the Moose Room. It's just Brad by himself today. Just decided to record a podcast on a kind of important topic, kind of a hot topic that's actually been happening in the dairy world called agrivoltaics. And I wanted to just provide an update really about what's going on. You know, it's been a big discussion point in a lot of rural Minnesota. There's a lot of solar panels going up, taking away a lot of farmland. A lot of the public are, you know, not very happy about this. So really, agrivoltaics is how can we incorporate solar energy and maybe crops or livestock on the same land. So I wanted to talk about this a little bit, give a little update about where we are in agrivoltaics at our research center, and why, you know, why might I be talking about this? Well, I sort of got mad one day and made a post on LinkedIn, and it has like 120,000 impressions because there's a lot of negativity about putting cows and livestock underneath solar panels. So I made this post and said, nope, cows don't wreck solar panels. And a lot of people have engaged with me from all over the world. It's happening in Europe. You see a lot more people interested in putting dairy cows on land with solar panels. So we've been working with that here at our research center for almost 5 or 6 years now. So I wanted to give you an update about where we are, where we're going, and kind of why we started with this. So we've been monitoring our dairy farm at our research center here in Morris for over 10 years now. Really monitoring water usage, energy usage. We've got, you know, a lot of sensors on fans and motors and you name it, trying to figure out where all of our energy is. And we've also monitored a bunch of dairy farms in Minnesota where we've, you know, tried to figure out where the energy is. Really at our 300 cow dairy here in Morris, most of the energy usage is coming from milk cooling, which is pretty standard on a lot of farms. The next energy use is fans. Fans are huge in amount of energy used on farm, whether you're a conventional farm, a grazing farm. Fans and milk cooling, you know, milk compressors are the biggest use of energy. In some farms, supplemental heat, you know, for in the milking parlor, we monitored one farm that has six robots. They use a lot of heaters in robot rooms to keep things unthawed. So that does consume a lot of energy as well. You know, lights, we all think about lights. Lights take up some energy on some farms. It really depends whether you have LEDs or, you know, older lights. So lights can be a big issue as well. But milk cooling is the big one. So that sort of led us, you know, we know how much energy our farms use or what we want to do. So we want to be able to offset that with maybe solar or small scale wind. So we're going to talk about solar today because, you know, 7, 8 years ago, there were farms that were grazing sheep under solar panels. It kind of is a demonstration project here in Minnesota. And the problem is there's not a large market for lamb in Minnesota. You know, people do consume lamb. I love lamb, but the large market is not here. We don't have a harvest facility. A lot of lamb is harvested out of state. So there's not a big lamb or sheep market here in Minnesota. Well, I thought, why not cows? We have a lot of dairy cows and a lot of beef cows here in Minnesota. So why not put cows underneath solar panels to see if that works? So that's where we sort of ventured off into putting solar up. We put our first solar installation in 2016, so almost 8 years ago. It was a 50 kW system, albeit these are small systems. You know, we were using them from a demonstration purposes. You know, most solar developers now are talking megawatts, you know, 3-4 megawatts on, you know, huge solar installations. Ours are small, you know. The first installation we put up, it was 8 feet above the ground. We've used it for, you know, calf hutches under there, maybe shading for calf hutches, trying to keep those out of the sun in the summertime. But it wasn't in a pasture. It was just able to be used by sort of maybe some small calves. We also have a 30 kW ground mount system, kind of like you see in the countryside. There's a lot of solar going up. They're ground systems. You know, the panels are right at the ground. Everything's underneath. These are the typical ones that maybe sheep can graze underneath. We put one of those up and are monitoring that as well. It's kind of just in some land. We don't have any cows underneath it or sheep or anything like that. Our goal was to really produce solar energy, put cows underneath the solar panels, use that solar energy for maybe charging electric vehicles or using the power within our own farm. So all of these solar installations that we have, we do not put any energy onto the grid. We're consuming all of it that is produced on farm. We're connected to the grid. We have to be connected to the grid, but we are utilizing all of the energy that is produced. So in early 2018 is when we put up another solar installation to be able to put cows underneath it. And, you know, there was a lot of sort of naysayers that said we couldn't do that. There's no way you can put cows underneath solar panels. They're going to wreck the solar panels. They're going to, you know, rub on the poles. And, you know, I didn't believe any of that, you know, so we have to try it for ourselves. So we put up this 30 kW system in the summer of 2018. We probably went a little overkill on it, knowing what we know now about how cows and their behavior underneath the solar panels. We put the solar system up. We concreted the poles 6 feet into the ground because we were like, well, we don't want the cows to wreck the solar panels, so we're going to concrete the poles in. So there's no possible way they could damage the poles. We put the panels up 8 feet above the ground. They're about 6 feet on one side and 8 feet on the others. There's really no scientific way that we chose 8 feet. Basically, I went out into a pen of cows and found the tallest cow in the herd and then decided how far she could reach up to lick or touch something. And that was maybe about 8 feet. So that's kind of why we settled on 8 feet. No real rhyme or reason why we did that. So we put these panels up and they are fixed tilt, which means they are stationary. They do not tilt at all. A lot of the new solar installations that we see today are single axis tracking. So they track the sun as it goes across the sky. These are not. These are stationary, faced south. And it took about a month to finish the solar installation. We actually, you know, all of the wires are up high enough so the cows can't bother them. One thing to note is our inverters that, you know, converts the power are on the outside of the fence. We did not put the solar inverters on the inside of the fence. Otherwise, we probably would have had to fence them. I've seen some solar installations on the East Coast where they're going to put cows underneath their panels and they have to fence the inverters out so the cows don't bother them. So that's one thing to note. Inverters are on the outside of the fence. So then we put the cows underneath it the first day. They really didn't bother it at all. You know, they kind of sniffed it, licked it, maybe rubbed on the panels one day because it was something new. They maybe destroyed the ground underneath it because they stood underneath the panels a lot because they wanted to be in the shade. That was the real purpose for developing these was shade. So in July, we kind of, you know, had bare ground there, but then we just let it come back. And by fall, the grass had grown back. We didn't seed any grass in there. The grass had just regrown without any issues. And we started putting cows underneath the panels and they use them for shade. They don't really bother them. They don't rub on the panels. You know, these are in a rotational grazing situation. So we don't let the panels underneath or the cows underneath the panels for more than, you know, 7 days at a time so they don't wreck the grass. And it's really worked out quite well. We've been able to produce quite a bit of energy on this 30 kW system and put cows underneath it. In 2020, we put up a 240 kilowatt system in one of our pastures. We worked with the University of Minnesota Morris. It's their installation. They put it in our pastures. It is still 8 feet above the ground, fixed tilt. You know, this array is in about five banks of panels, so it's much larger, albeit not megawatts. And here there was no concreting poles in. They still just pounded these H poles into the ground about 6 feet and put the panels up. And with this system, we can put 100 to 200 animals underneath this system. We could probably put more, but that's about what we've done. And they just simply have not bothered the system at all. They have not bothered the poles. They utilize the shade underneath that these solar panels generate. So that's really, they utilize what they're sort of meant to do is shade, and without bothering them. You know, and we've had these up in the wintertime. Animals are, you know, there's the fixed tilt makes the snow melt off of them, so there's not an issue in the wintertime. These cows utilize these panels sort of all year round. In the summertime, you know, you'll find them underneath there in the morning. They go grazing in the afternoon. They come back during the hot part of the day. They kind of can use them whenever they choose. So we did a study in 2019, had a graduate student, Kirsten Sharp. She did a wonderful job on this project. It was her master's degree to basically look at the use of these solar systems for shading cows in a grazing situation. How did we do the study? Well, we had we used our 30 kW system. We just used 24 cows, so small number of cows. We just wanted to see what would happen, whether they used the shade structure or not. We also had a control group that was not given any access to shade. So some cows had shade, some cows did not. And we did this during four periods of the summer. So like I said, rotational grazing, the cows weren't underneath here for the whole grazing season. So they were maybe had access to the panels 28 of the 150 days of the year. And of course, we, you know, we measured a lot of things on these cows. We had sensors on them. We measured rumination activity. I also had a SmaxTech bolus that we put on the cows. Actually, they're an internal bolus that measures internal body temperature. And we were able to see really what the effect of heat stress was. So we had some students go out and watch these cows for respiration rate, so how much they breathe. And really, we found that cows that had access to the solar system had less breaths per minute than cows that didn't have shade. So they were just breathing less heavy during the hot part of the afternoon. You know, in the morning, it really wasn't a big difference. But in the afternoon, yep, we were able to reduce heat stress in those cows. We also looked at, if you look at the body temperature in the overnight hours, early morning hours, there was real no difference between the cows that had shade or didn't have shade. But in the afternoon, we were able to reduce the internal body temperature by about a half a degree Fahrenheit for the cows that had access to the solar shade system. So that's a big difference. A half a degree Fahrenheit in internal body temperature, that's significant. And really, it was from noon until midnight we were able to reduce that. And even, you know, during the hot part of the day. So really, being able to reduce heat stress in cows was our number one goal by using these systems. And we were able to do that. You know, really, it's really about 2 o'clock until, and, you know, the heat stress lasts until the evening hours, you know, so we felt pretty good about being able to reduce the heat stress. Well, the other question comes in. So what grass can we grow underneath it that the cows don't wreck or that they can eat, or what grows the best? So the last couple of years, I had a graduate student, Sabrina Portner, worked on this project where we planted a whole bunch of forages and some grain crops underneath our solar systems to see what would grow the best, you know? So we had alfalfa, we grew peas, meadow fescue, orchard grass, sorghum sedan grass, and then mixes of perennial grass species. We also tried to grow corn, soybeans, oats, and wheat under them to see what would happen. Depends on the amount of shade you got. You know, the corn and the beans, corn didn't do so well. The soybeans grew really well, but it probably takes a lot longer to get to maturity because of lack of sunlight or some shade. Oats and wheat did really well. The grass species, they emerged really well. And really, the two grass species that did probably the best underneath the solar system were meadow fescue and orchard grass. They, you know, grew really well underneath sort of some shade and solar systems. They produced a lot of forage for the cows. We grew sorghum sedan grass. Certainly depends on the amount of shade that you have. It's like corn, so it needs a lot of sunlight. So that sorghum sedan grass didn't do as well underneath solar systems. But really, the perennial grasses did really well. And that's sort of a testament that these perennial grasses, they grow well. And we didn't have a problem with any forages not growing. Some just didn't have as much biomass as others. But those two grass species did the best. We've also been working with some farms in southern Minnesota that are growing some soybeans underneath their solar panels and see what happens. We're just not sure what will happen when you put crops under there. But we've been working with that to see what we do. So where do we go in the future with all of this agrivoltaics? Well, there's a lot of different things that people are exploring. One is sort of horizontal or vertical bifacial solar panels. So it's solar panels on both sides. They maybe put them vertically or horizontally. We see this more in Europe. So you can drive a tractor through there. You can put cows in there. They don't really bother them. I was actually out at Rutgers University in New Jersey a couple weeks ago, where they are putting some vertical bifacial solar systems up in some of their pasture, and they're going to put beef cows out there to see what happens. They really don't know. Oh, I don't think we know what's going to happen and how cows interact with the solar system. So there's just a lot of things that people are exploring, and we're exploring mobile solar shade sort of power stations. So, you know, cows like shade, we know that, but grazing cows move, especially animals that are on pasture. So our goal is this mobile shade system. It's designed for about 30 to 40 cows. It's 20 kilowatts of bifacial solar panels. It's on a modified sort of corn soybean header trailer. And we've manufactured this so we can pull it to other pastures. It can fit through gates. It sort of folds up with hydraulics. And the goal is to use it for off-grid power. There's batteries on there for storage, so we can store the energy that we've produced. We also have an electric tractor that we can power an electric tractor with it, and can pull this mobile solar shade system around the pasture. So we'll be deploying that this summer and see really what happens when we do that. So I think there's just a lot of things happening in the agrivoltaics world. We've been graciously funded by Minnesota Environmental Natural Resources Trust Fund to do all of this from a legislative standpoint. I think that's very important from an environmental standpoint to look at how solar shade and these solar systems are taking up valuable land on the landscape. So I think agrivoltaics is here. There's a lot of interest in it. There's a lot of people exploring it to see what happens. But I think, you know, the jury's still out there to see how cows and other crops can interact on large installations. So I think the future is bright for solar energy and working with agriculture, and it's only going to increase into the future. So with that, if you have any comments, questions on agrivoltaics, feel free to reach out to me. I'm happy to share with anybody. I've been sharing with a lot of people all over the world about what we're doing. You know, if you want to know more, certainly let me know and we can see where we go from there. So thanks for listening. Bye.